B-Pod Studios.
What's up?
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's the noon time hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy's in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Make sure you get to our website, 985thesportshub.com. Download our app. Take us wherever you go. Let's get to a few things here in this hour, including the NHL. They're apparently getting closer to figuring out where it is they're going to go. That's exciting. They're getting a little bit closer to it. The Hub Cities. Here's what The Athletic has to say about it. The Hub Cities has been narrowed down to six. Vegas, Edmonton, Vancouver, Toronto, Chicago, and L.A. Vegas, L.A., Chicago are the American cities. Edmonton, Vancouver, Toronto. Edmonton is making a push with an Olympic Village-style bid.
That's nice. I appreciate that.
The story here. It says that in the story, this is just me handicapping things as of Monday, but I feel as of right now, it looks like either Vegas with Vancouver or Vegas with Edmonton. So Edmonton is apparently, in the eyes of The Athletic, a leader, and then it will be either Vancouver or Vegas. The way that's written, it makes it sound like they could have two Canadian cities. Vegas with Vancouver. Oh, sorry. I read that wrong. I'm an idiot. It says Vegas with Vancouver or Vegas with Edmonton. So it's going to be Vegas and either Vancouver or Edmonton. Those are the favorites. So Vegas is well established still, as it's been reported over the last week plus. Edmonton tweaked its bid last week, according to sources, strengthening how tight its bubble would be and highlighting all the advantages of its setup. The three hotels, which would house NHL players and staff, would be the JW Marriott, Delta, and Sutton Place. I don't know what Delta or Sutton Place are. I don't know what those are. But it says from a player's perspective, there seems to be a clear drop-off after the JW Marriott, and that the levels of quality for the hotels in the Edmonton bid has been earmarked as a concern for some.
Nicest JW Marriott ever stayed in was Mexico City.
And?
That's a phenomenal hotel. The JW Marriott. Yeah. Nice one in Washington. Every D.C., we usually stay in Marriott's on the road. But the JWs are the best. Love them. Love the one in New Orleans.
Well, if hotel...
Atlanta had a nice one, right, Artie?
Vegas.
That was the headquarters.
Yeah, Vegas had a nice JW Marriott.
You guys stayed there, didn't you? Beetle, didn't you stay at the JW in Atlanta the first couple days?
I think so.
First
did four I? Days. Big one with the big lobby all the way up.
No, that was a regular Marriott. That was not a JW.
Oh, is there a difference?
That was a JW.
Oh, maybe yeah. It was. I don't know. I don't remember. It was nice. JW, it was a nice place.
Yeah.
You sure?
It's huge. Yeah, it was JW.
We'll double check that. But whatever. Anyway.
So
that's what it's coming down to. The players want to be in the JW, and they don't have enough rooms, and so what they're going to basically try and do is get all the players into that hotel and put the staff from the teams at the other two hotels.
Okay. All right. We are at the Marriott Marquis, by the way, in Atlanta.
Yes.
Marriott Marquis. Team was at the JW.
If hotel right. selection is a problem, why don't they play in like another city in Canada?
Why don't they play, you know, Toronto, Vancouver? Like, what's the deal? Why does it – I don't know. I don't know why it has to be Edmonton.
I don't know
space.
Either.
Oh. Rink availability, space.
Toronto!
Why not go to Toronto?
Toronto!
Stop it. And make Hardy laugh all day now.
This all from Pierre LeBrun. I don't know. Pierre LeBrun seems to think Edmonton has the lead because of their three hotels. Woo! Three hotels. Yippee! I don't know. I've never been to Edmonton. You guys ever been to Edmonton?
I don't think I've ever been to Edmonton.
No, never been there. Nope.
I've been to Toronto.
Toronto.
Yeah, it's nice.
So I've been in Toronto. I've been in Montreal. That's it. Is Niagara Falls Canada?
What's that?
Well, there's Niagara a there's Falls. A Canadian side and there's a U.S. side
yeah.
of Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I've been there.
It sounds like the East is going to go to Vegas, though, right?
Yes.
Does that screw up? I guess it doesn't because they'll just be playing daytime out there for games that are being played at 7 or 8 o'clock here on the East Coast. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter. Something to think about, though.
Well, if they have to have play... too many games, Beetle, to have afternoon games, those 1 o'clock starts will become like later in the day,
so
right? Like,
cause that's interesting. Are they going to the West Coast so that the games are on, you know, are they putting teams from the East in the West to play games, I guess... I don't know, man. I don't know if that makes a difference.
No, they're doing it because...
Does it help them?
They don't want Vegas to play on their home ice, right? They want Vegas as a city, but they don't want the Golden Knights to play or to get have the home ice advantage or being close to home. They want everyone to be equal is why they won't let the West play in Vegas.
But
they want Vegas as one of the...
I don't know if that's true, because what Pierre LeBrun writes, he says, obviously, if both hub cities end up in the West, which is a possibility, it will be impossible not to have the Knights, Canucks, or Oilers at home. I'm told the league isn't overly concerned by this, because there will not be fans in the stands.
Yeah, it would be a little weird to have one team playing on their home ice, but if all players are being forced to stay in a hotel or something like that, and it's not like players are able to go home at night and sleep in their own beds, that I would see as a real advantage. Mm. So you're skating on the ice in your home arena. So what? I mean, is it that big of a deal? I see why the league would say that they're not all that concerned with it.
Yeah, I don't think it is that big of a deal because I think whichever arena they end up in, that home team is going to have to evacuate their locker room and everything that they have set up at their own facility.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like if TD Garden were hosting these games, I think the Bruins locker room would turn into a regular visiting neutral sort of room.
Well, you're going to have the ability to have certain rooms in some of these arenas, especially without fans now, and to where you could put a temporary locker room in there. You could build a structure to where
I'm sure they'll.
Locker room
I'm sure they will.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. But I, as far as like treatment goes and things that right. teams have in their home locker rooms, I don't think the home team is going to have special access to it. You know.
Correct.
That's all I would say. Well then. 617.
Marty, do that cupcake thing again, because I think we're on more delay again.
No, we're not.
What is the cupcake thing?
We're not doing it.
He says cupcake, we raise our hand.
Nope.
Sure? Want to do it?
Toronto!
All right, fine. Well, we'll do it with that. When you hear Toronto,
you say
raise
Toronto,
your hand.
Raise your hand.
Go ahead.
Right. Okay.
Here we go.
Toronto!
No, at the same time. You guys are fine.
Okay, better than yesterday, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Jesus.
Jesus. All right, so that's the thought on the NHL hub cities. If you have thoughts on that, phone lines are open. We talked about Novak Djokovic a couple weeks ago. He was all pissed off about
Is
having
he good?
To go to New York.
Like, I think you say tennis. I think Federer or Nadal. Is Djokovic good?
Yeah, he's real
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
real
he's
good.
Real good.
Real good.
He's now got coronavirus. He's got COVID-19. Maybe that changes his mind on things. We'll talk about
that
next.
He wanted to boom, yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just one night, all we got. Just one night, all we got. Just one night, all we got. Just one night, all we got.
I ain't got time for you, baby. Either you're mine or you're not. Make up your mind.
kill nobody. So we gonna dance. Novak Djokovic was very upset about having to come to the United States and having to stay near the airport to play in the U.S. Open later this summer. He has now tested positive for COVID-19 after a night of partying topless in a Serbian nightclub. I'm not sure where to go with this. He's tested positive along with his wife after being, again, on video partying at a nightclub.
He makes this me want to watch tennis.
While he was on tour at the Adria Tour Exhibition Tournament, which was canceled before the final in Croatia after three other players tested positive for COVID-19. During the early days of the tournament, a number of these players and tennis players were out partying together, and that's what may have led to them testing positive. This is what this guy's problem was. So this is what he wanted to do in New York? Is that what it was? He wanted to be able to come to New York and stay in Manhattan and go clubbing? He wanted to
play tennis. Then he wanted to boom, 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 boom at night. New York's a great city. I mean, he doesn't look like a partier to me. You know? He kind of looks like Steve Carell in Crazy Sexy... What's the name of that movie? Crazy Sexy Fun or something? He don't look like a partier, but he wants to party. I respect his want to party. And that song you heard, it was playing when he was in a nightclub, Boom Boom, the shirtless nightclub. This guy's interesting. He's a little bit of a character now, huh? Not one of those boring tennis stiffs. I don't like tennis. I got no interest in tennis. This guy might make me watch tennis now.
This is what he apparently wanted to be able to do, is go to Manhattan and club it up and go clubbing.
Would you want to stay at LaGuardia? You want to stay near LaGuardia? You want to stay in the hotel near LaGuardia?
I mean, yeah, if you have the chance to go and make millions of dollars playing your sport.
He's already got it.
I would think that would be what you'd be willing to do. Pete's in Delaware. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, as far as the NFL goes, or actually any sports, but I listen to a guy named Michael Osterholm, and he's probably the best epidemiologist in the world. He's not political, so he's not like Fauci's become. And one thing he points out is all this chaos that we have going on, only like 7% of our population has been infected, and the virus is going nowhere. So these leagues are trying to keep preventing a virus. It's going to be here. And, like, when you see the baseball shut down because people get positive, if they're going to keep shutting down when people get positive, none of these team sports are going to be able to open. Everyone's got to accept the fact they're going to get it and what they're going to do with it when they get it, because it's not going anywhere. It just seems like I was really bummed out when they closed down baseball the other day. They closed down facilities. I take this as serious as anybody, but it's going to be with us. In a team sport, you have to have protocols. When you get it, you can't shut everything down.
Pete, what if there's a vaccine by December or January? I know that's...
Oh, guys, that Fauci's so full of it. There's going to be no vaccine. The quickest vaccine we've gotten is in 4 years.
About 3.5 years. I understand that. But let's just play the game. What if that were to happen? What if that were to happen? And I'm with you. I don't believe it's going to happen by then either. But if it were, you could see why some sports are saying... Can we sort of weather the storm and get through the year and then focus on next year if they get to that point?
But I guess my only point is if you look at – and I'm not even mad at the leagues. I'm more mad at the response from the government and all that. I think the leagues are in a really tough spot. I do, and I appreciate their efforts, and I'm not even mad at them. But I just think you can't – like me and you were talking, maybe it happens, maybe it don't. You have to assume it's not going to, because – you know, and like the NFL, when they're going to push back, they're talking about pushing it back, but yet Fauci tells baseball to get it done by a certain time, but yet the NFL wants to push it back. That's mixed messaging. Do you agree?
Yeah, I don't really understand which way he's going, because he himself referenced the World Series and then now says he wasn't talking about the World Series. So I'm not sure.
But, you know, he says one to be pushed back and then one to start late. It's completely the opposite. So I feel for the leagues. I really do. And I think they're doing better than the government. I think they're actually trying to do better than the federal government is. Well, so I give them credit. I just think they're in a tough spot.
Did Fauci say something about pushing someone back, though? What did he say on that?
No. When you guys were talking about the NFL was talking about, right. Unless I misunderstood, you said the NFL was talking about pushing the start of the season back?
There are executives that want to push it back. There are team execs that want to do it. The league does not. The league wants to go forward with it.
Okay, because because Fauci's saying get baseball over by a certain time, and then football's talking about pushing it back. All I'm saying is everyone's all over the map. And I'm just saying as a fan, and I know you guys, and take the health part out of it because I believe this is a serious thing, but as a fan, it just seems like all the time we're getting so many mixed messages that it gets kind of hard to think something's actually going to work.
All right, Pete. Thanks for the call, as always.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you, Pete.
That's that frustration level of A, not knowing, B, not necessarily agreeing with all the protocols that people have, and the protocols varying widely from situation to situation. You know, it's like somebody gets sick. In one case, it's like, well, that person goes home, and when you feel better, you come back. In other cases, they start doing the contact tracing, and all those people are staying home. Which is it going to be? Which is most likely going to afford you the ability to get back to work, whether it's in sports or anything else? If one person gets sick, that person stays home until they're not sick anymore, and that's where it ends.
That's what I'm
leaning toward. Yeah, the post diagnosis, the right. Post positive test protocol. That's where I think we're going to have to come to terms with, because Beetle, I would love to think there's going to be a vaccine going on here in March or January too, and phase three. Dr. Fauci, I think, just announced that it's going to be happening next month. How long is phase three? How many phases are in phase three? There's the manufacturing, there's the rollout. Then you got to get everybody to take the damn thing, which a lot of people are not going to. Hell, we were just talking about Djokovic. He's an anti-vaxxer. Idiots like him who do get sick and still won't take the vaccine once it comes out because, I don't trust it. Okay, well, I didn't know you were a medical doctor. Well, good. That's awesome.
Here's why. The reason why you do and should trust vaccines is because they go through rigorous testing. And this is what I think maybe would be different about this vaccine, which might be a reason for someone to fear it. But the problem is you've got to allow for that time for testing to know that it's safe to put on the market. Right? I mean, that's not to go down a whole side topic here of vaccines, but for example, when they created a SARS vaccine, the vaccine actually went the other way and made the virus and made the disease worse, is what it did. It actually was harmful as opposed to being helpful. That's why they didn't go fully through with developing it, because in testing it was bad. But then, by the way, SARS disappeared. It went away. So there wasn't that need for it anymore. Or as he mentioned, about three and a half, four years it was when they came up with the mumps vaccine in the 1960s. That's the fastest they've ever gone from creating samples to getting it tested and on the market. And that was 1967. I would like to think we've made some advances since 1967 to speed up a possible process and get to testing, which has already begun. Right, so I don't think it's going to take 4 years.
These kids they brought in, going back to the Clemson and the LSU, we got the first reports coming out of Alabama, right? Five kids got tested, and it was as high as eight. You think they're sitting there saying, it's good, we got 23, we're up to 30 now. Because you talk about protocol afterwards, right? So once these kids have it, what do you think Dabo Swinney and Ed Ogeron are going to do in 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks? And put these kids in pads. We already had it. Put it through our thing. Let's go play football. That's their protocol. That's the way they're going to approach this. Some people may just shut everything down just because you got 10 people got it. You know, someone gets it in our building, boom. You close it down, you clean it, that person quarantines. They're probably like, let's get him in a hotel. Someone's going to get it. Well, they got it now. Let's let it run its course through the hotel, and then we'll play ball in 3 weeks. Is that crazy protocol, or isn't it? Like, that might be the protocol. That might be what teams are watching. Here's your worst-case scenario, too. Say you move way forward, and we find a way to play football this fall, and you got to learn to, quote-unquote, live with the virus, right? AFC Championship game. Go back to 03, 03, 04. Brady's got 104 fever, right? He's burning up in the Pittsburgh hotel. They got him on IV bags all night. He's got the flu. He goes out and plays his ass off the next day. If that's COVID, they swipe him and said, wow, you got COVID. You ain't playing tomorrow. So you can play with the flu. You can't play with COVID. What are you going to do? Your chance to go to the Super Bowl, do you really want to test him? And just give him a couple Advil here. You got to test him, right? That's part of the protocol, too, now when guys get sick. Mandatory, quick swab test, accelerated test. Let's get it. Let's figure out what he's got. Because now you're into flu season. You're combining flu season. And that's football's biggest problem. You say football's greatest attribute is they got the schedule. They have the benefit of the doubt with the schedule. But their season also coincides with the start of the flu season. So you're going to have to separate what's the flu, what isn't. And you're not just getting a flu test anymore. You're getting a COVID test. If you got a fever and you got chills and you got aches. You see what I'm saying? Like that 03 night probably won't happen in 2020 here. If you got a player sick like that the night before. Because they're probably swabbing him for COVID. And it ain't the flu. Or maybe it is.
Hardy, what weekend will the Masters be played this year?
In November.
Second weekend in November, I think.
Yeah, middle of November.
There is a call for the Masters to change the name of their tournament. You will hear that.
I did hear this. Got some good ideas going on in this column.
Okay. You'll hear all about that.
Good luck.
The call to change the name of the Masters, that is coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, there's some news on this story in a number of ways. Number one, did you guys know Deadspin was a thing again?
No.
Yeah, they're apparently not out of business. They apparently still have a site.
How often did you read Deadspin when it was like, you know, Deadspin?
Daily.
Right? I was checking out something on Deadspin practically every day.
Every day.
You don't want to end up on Deadspin. Don't want to end up on Deadspin. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Someone's always getting in trouble on Deadspin.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, you mean like as a...
You don't want to be
like,
the story.
I'm like, why do you not want to read something on Deadspin? What do you mean?
No, you do. You said do
you
not
mean as a player.
Yeah, you don't want to be the guy they're writing about.
Got it. I mean, that was sort of their history and how they started, going back to the Will Leach days. I mean, that was how they started that thing.
Yep.
Was writing about Ron Mexico, a.k.a. Michael Vick and his, you know...
Ron Mexico.
That was one of their big stories in the early days, was Ron Mexico. So that was, you know, Deadspin used to be really good. And then it, you know, wasn't as good. And then it went completely under. And they fired everyone resigned. It was a joke at that point. But
that's right.
Anyway.
They had that mass exodus after somebody got
sold.
Yeah, and then they didn't like the direction the like, new editors were taking it in or something, but a bunch of people quit or got fired.
Yeah. They got bought by a bunch of corporate jackasses and corporate raiders, and it all went to hell. So anyway, Rob Parker, he's no stranger to the people of New England. Rob Parker has had some takes on Tom Brady, Deflategate, et cetera, over the years. Yeah. Rob Parker, is he still at ESPN at all? I'm guessing no?
No, he's Fox Sports.
Don't know.
Oh, Fox Sports. Okay, so he's also writing at Deadspin. And he writes this. After discussing all the things that have happened in recent weeks and NASCAR banning the Confederate flag and Uncle Benton's and Mrs. Butterworth's and Aunt Jemima all going out of work for their racist, stereotypical images, he says, let's not stop there. He said, there's a bigger one in the room that needs to be addressed, changed, and removed. The name The Masters must go. The heralded golf tournament, one of the four majors, needs to go back to its original name, the Augusta National Invitational. It became the Masters in 1939.
Somebody in the shower?
Yeah.
Someone... sounds like they're whisking something in a bowl.
Sounds like they're doing some vigorous exfoliating in that shower.
Yeah. Or shaking a can of spray paint. Something. It says Tiger Woods, other big-time golfers, and corporate sponsorships should demand it in the current climate with all the sweeping changes. Mm. It's only right and just. Best of all, in this case, it's simple and a smooth fix. The Masters never felt good or even sounded good when you said it. And before we hear from the choir about tradition and history, save it. When that history and tradition is rooted in slavery, it shouldn't be preserved and honored. When I heard this morning, I said, wait, is the Masters named after like a slave master? Is that what that is?
No.
But that's what I thought immediately. I'm like, whoa, is this something that I was just
nobody
completely
makes that
unaware
statement.
Of?
Right.
Because when I Where think of the Masters, I think of the name as like the Masters of Golf.
Yes.
Right.
Like you know, Masters of the Universe, Masters of Golf. That's what I, and then I thought, wait, maybe I have no idea. Maybe I'm completely ignorant to the history. But there is some history, and that is when they started the Augusta National Invitational, it became that name because why, Hardy? Why was it not originally the Masters?
Because it was put together by Bobby Jones and Cliff Roberts at the time, and they said, you know, we're going to have a tournament here, and Cliff Roberts, who went on to become, you know, chairman there for many, many years, wanted
like
the name
Cliff and Rob Coffee Shop.
Different. Yes, what a coincidence! Cliff Roberts, like Cliff and Rob. He wanted to call it the Masters of Golf, all convenient. And Bobby Jones said, who is also a man of the South, right? With some,
you want to be a master craftsman in your.
Right.
Your forte, whatever your field.
Some would say of a like mind of Cliff Roberts said, no, that sounds pretentious. That sounds dumb. You know, Bobby Jones had the wherewithal to maintain his amateur status and say, you know what? I'm not a master of anything, golf or otherwise. Yeah, but, you know, had the Grand Slam with the Opens. But no, not the Masters. Let's just call it the Augusta Invitational, which they did for a few years. But as would soon become the custom there,
yeah.
At Augusta National, Cliff Roberts got his way, and they started calling it the Masters after like 4 years of playing what was at first the Augusta Invitational. Now, no one that I have ever spoken to or ever in my head ever thought the Masters somehow had a negative connotation between master and slave. It reminds me of the scene in Boomerang when Zoe, you've seen this movie, when they're playing pool, Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence, and Martin Lawrence sees racism and everything. It's like, this game of billiards, this is racist. See, it's the white ball knocking around all the colored balls, right? All the balls of color get knocked around, and the game ends when the white ball knocks the black ball into the... And there's like, wow, yeah. And the green felt symbolizes the world. You know, and it's like, okay, this is crazy. That and saying like the Masters means slave master, this is crazy. No one ever thought that. Yeah. No one thinks that. Stop it. But you have to end it right there, because if you start getting into a conversation about what Augusta National was,
they are totally racist. Do we know that?
You're gonna
long established.
You're gonna lose the argument right away, especially with Cliff Roberts, who wanted to call it the Masters. Why? Masters of Golf. Can we stop? Well, what about Cliff Roberts? Oh, horrible racist. bad yes. person. But that's
bad dude, racist. That's
not the question. The question is the name Masters in and of itself racist? No, dummy. It's got nothing to do with that. What about Cliff Roberts? What did that, now we can have a conversation, which an argument in which you will lose. I mean, this is the guy that the New York Times attributed the phrase, "As long as I'm alive, the players will be white and the caddies will be black."
Right.
That's
racist.
What the New York Times said. He said,
"Bad dude."
I mean, like
the club itself, racist. Didn't allow a black member until the 90s.
Right.
Didn't allow women
till 8 years ago.
They kept putting up that fight. They lost the fight on black
Rick
men.
Certainly,
and then they said, what are we going to do next? Let's hold the ground on women. You know, it's like one thing after another. That place sucks. And so, yes, racist history. That's not a very welcoming place, I'm sure, for African Americans even now. But the name? Really? We really think that's what they meant by the name? I don't think so. I disagree on that. And I'm all for reviewing everything, but that one doesn't seem to pass the test to me.
It just seems it seems funny. It's like the history that place has, which it's not anymore, okay? By all indications, and from people I have talked to who have been there, who have even played there and said it really is like one of the most friendly, open-minded places. You can't believe like how chill it is once you're there and how everyone is treated from employees to guests to everything. They're like, it really is. It's not the case anymore. But for someone like Rob Parker or anyone else to say Masters that's the name. If you want to go after something, go after the entire enterprise of having a tournament there at the place that operated the way it did for so long. And I am not in favor of that. I think, a lot of entities have made horrible mistakes over the years in terms of how they've treated certain segments of the population. But if they're no longer doing that, then it's okay to still either, go to this place or do business with that company or hold a golf tournament there. But he wants to change the name. It's like if you're that upset by something involved with the Masters, you should just boycott the whole thing.
Yeah, you should go after the whole place.
Go after the whole place.
Forget the name. The name is not the existence of the place.
Right.
Might be a better thing
shut
to
it
attack.
Down.
I'm not going after the name or the place, but Rob Parker, you are selling yourself short. There's a lot of fodder there, man. Just read up on Cliff Roberts. That's all you
got to
do.
Go all the way, dude. Yeah. Go all the way. It's a better argument. I don't think you'll win the argument, but it's a better argument. It's a better argument than what you've got.
Well, at least he's got not Brady's back. He's got to move on, Usually it's attack Brady, attack Brady. Brady's not here anymore in the Patriots, so.
Didn't he compare Brady to Lance Armstrong? Wasn't that one of his things?
Yeah.
May have been.
Blood doper.
Seems a little heavy-handed.
A little bit. Something we did not get to yesterday was the Bubba Wallace situation with NASCAR. We will do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The sport is changing. The deal that happened yesterday, sorry I'm not wearing my mask, but I wanted to show whoever it was that you're not going to take away my smile. And I'm going to keep on going. I've been a part of the sport for a really long time. I'm still kind of a rookie. Starting to figure this plate stuff out. We had a good race going today.
That's Bubba Wallace yesterday, NASCAR driver, a sport I have little to no interest in, and under most circumstances, refuse to talk about it.
Zero. And I've learned a lot about this sport in the last day or two.
Exactly.
Did you know Bubba Wallace was the only black driver?
Yes, I've heard of him before, but I didn't know he was the only one. No,
I assume there were more. I didn't know.
I was aware of him, but I did not know he was the only black driver. I did not know that.
Yeah.
But that's obviously a rarity in that sport. That is a predominantly white sport that has catered to the white supremacists for like their entire existence. So when I saw this story this week, I don't know, man. It like didn't even register with me. I'm like, oh yeah, that's NASCAR. Yeah, I believe it. Were you surprised? You surprised that happened? Is anyone surprised? Who should be surprised by that? Tell me. Tell me why.
I'm surprised someone put a noose in his
really
got garage on
the
site.
Sport that in the year 2020 decided they didn't want to be associated with the Confederate flag anymore.
I wouldn't be surprised.
That's the sport you're surprised it happened in.
It is home base.
Let me put it this way.
He's at a race. He is at Talladega. He's down Talladega, right? I think. I'm not sure. I think it's Talladega. So he's the number 43 car. So you have an area that your car is kept in and watched over. You got security there. This is like a big event. So you got people everywhere with eyes open. I'm sure you have video of stuff, right? Take some balls in this day and age for what is happening in this country to say, hey, let's play. If you're joking or not, it's bad to even think about what you would do to or what you would want to put in his area of his garage. I think I would take some freaking balls right now. That's crazy. You're not surprised?
No.
After what's gone on
in
this country?
So what you've seen in the parking lots at the NASCAR races for the last 50 years, you don't think that exists within their own ranks of the 3,000 or so people that work in NASCAR that had credentials that, according to stories, would have had access to the only people that could have managed to get access to that garage? You don't think that those people exist in their own ranks of staffers and pit crew guys and teams? You don't think that that exists in that sport?
Peers, man. I mean, these are your peers. I would think you would care a little more about your peers now if it's some like rogue fan that did it.
You think all the racists are out in the parking lot and not in the garages working on the cars?
I would hope so. I don't know. I'd hope so.
That's naive.
I mean, I played sports. Everybody's the same. You know, and that's part of like, okay, if this is a sport and if this is what we do, if we have our crew pits and we have our guys that clock things, and then we got our tech guys, then we got our drivers, then we got our support staff, then we got our sponsors. We're all on the same team here.
Let me just tell you this. The response to this story and the coverage of this story is minimal compared to what it would be if we were in another major sport in this country. NBA or we're in the NFL or any other sport, this would be a far bigger story than it is. Because I know this has made it onto the nightly news, but it's barely, you know, the headlines everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay? And if we were in one of the other sports, it would be all we'd be talking about. We're not talking about this because it's NASCAR and you half expect it. That's why.
It's gotten bigger. It's on Fox now. And I sat there yesterday and I watched every member, every driver, every team that he has, every pit crew member walk Wallace's car to the front of that race. And it was a great moment where baseball is bickering over games and money that should be being played right now. NASCAR is front and center right now. And that was a great moment for them yesterday. And to watch Wallace's reaction as he climbs out of that car and breaks down. Richard Petty was there. You know, and he drives for Petty. It's Petty's cars. And he embraces him. And then he's emotionally taken over. And you just sit there and watch that. You're like, look at this moment. And there's people like baseball arguing, should we play or want to play? And here's the NASCAR drivers standing unified with everybody's hands on his car, pushing it up to the front.
And the guy who dropped the noose in the garage could have been in the pack walking around the track with him.
You don't know that.
I don't know that. I said he could be.
But that didn't have to happen yesterday, but it did. And that's good. And that's a good change for them and that sport. I'm with you, though. I'm not a NASCAR guy. I don't think it's a sport. You turn left all day. Left, 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 circle left, circle left. That doesn't do it for me. The Rumble doesn't do it for me. You know what does? Beer. I'd sit there in the sun and drink beer. I'd have more fun doing that than watching a damn race. But this is what's going on now. NASCAR's back. You had an issue. And everybody came together on the issue. And I think hopefully for that sport and that and for Walt and for I'm gonna say Bubba Wallace. for Bubba Wallace moving forward, hopefully this will help him. You know, as far as going to the next race, or, you know, you can tell he's friends with all the drivers, the way they embrace him, the way he talks to certain guys. I don't know. NASCAR had themselves a day yesterday, and baseball can't find a way to get on the baseball diamond.
I don't know what one has to do with the other. NASCAR's been back for
we need sports. We want sports.
A while. I don't know what this has to do with baseball.
People might be looking at NASCAR because you have no sports. There might be baseball fans watching NASCAR because you don't have a sport.
What about the notion that it's all fake? That the theory is that it was nothing more than the noose was simply a pull down for the garage doors like you see in some photos.
Someone said it was a driver's belt. I've heard that theory going around. It's kind of, a noose is a noose. When you say noose, you better make sure you know what you're talking about.
Well, and that's what people are saying, that it's, you know, there are all these tiny little nooses at you know, that are used as...
I have them on my shed and I have them on my garage door.
Right. Now, if... If you've been going
Wait,
to...
Wait, I don't what? Say I'm that's lost. A noose.
What the hell?
Okay.
What?
I have a rope that has a loop on it, okay, that you could pull down.
Right.
Okay, and then slide under the door and pull it and lock it.
Right.
I don't call it a noose.
Right. Would okay? you... Now, but it is, you know, tied off like a little
it's
noose.
Mini.
And,
it's
and,
mini.
the usual suspects, people who want to just say, no, that this is all made up, this is all fake news... There is a growing chorus of people saying that this is fake, that there are all these little nooses, and they provide photographs of these little handles at the garages at Talladega and elsewhere where they use these as a manual pull-down. To which I say, okay, so they brought in the FBI, the federal BI, and other investigative agencies, and not one of these guys looked around and said, oh, yeah, look, they're all over the place. Or someone from Talladega or NASCAR says, no, it's not a noose. We, you know, these are pull-downs. And it just all would have been quashed. See, this is what kills me when everyone says, fake news. They're just, you know, making it up. It's to what end? Like who wants this to be a story? NASCAR? Talladega? Anybody? Is anybody having fun talking about this?
No. It's uncomfortable.
If it could be easily explained away, don't you think somebody close to the investigation would have come out and said that already? Yet no one has said that. The only people saying it are the same internet sleuths who identify people all the time, whether they're the Boston Marathoners. Nope, you didn't identify him. Whether it's the guy who attacked a little girl on the bicycle for putting up the Black Lives Matter post. Nope, you didn't identify him either. Some more internet sleuthing going on out there, trying to, you know, debunk this and say it's all fake. It's fake news. It wasn't a noose. They're all just trying to get us to believe this. Well, you're batting zero on all of these theories up until this point. Yeah. And I still ask the question, why? Why would somebody make this up? Why would NASCAR go along with it? Why would Talladega go along with it? Why would the FBI go along with it? Why? To what end? What do any of them have to gain by this?
We've got headlines, and following that, we'll talk to Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports about the latest in baseball. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.